Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is a portion of the lesson which we have just heard, written in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, our text this morning poses the question, how's your love life? Now, I don't mean love in the sense that we've become so accustomed to hearing it said, the common meaning that we use day after day, like, I love your furniture, I love your house, I just love this neighborhood, this part of the country, I just love that type of car. I mean love in the sense that we are very uncomfortable with, the kind of love that we don't share so readily, that has become rare and difficult for us to use, the kind of love that shows concern and compassion, that reaches out to one another with self-sacrifice and puts another needs and cares and wants also in our hands. We don't speak of this love very often. We're not comfortable with it. And we also don't hear it spoken of us very often. But our text this morning isn't afraid to speak of love. It speaks of the open concern and care for others, for their welfare and all their needs. It speaks of the type of love that is willing to go the extra mile, to pay the costliest price for one another. It speaks of agape love. And it tells us that we are supposed to love one another just as Christ loved us. And doesn't that seem ridiculous? Doesn't that just seem too much to ask? How are we supposed to love one another, including those people from the other side of town, those people in our classes that we haven't had a chance to get to know, that maybe we even feel a little distant from? How are we supposed to love all those in the world who are unmannered, unlovable, ungrateful, maybe even snobbish? Even love our enemies. How can we possibly do that? Isn't that just a bit much to ask? And I guess we want to come up with the same excuse we want to use every time someone puts such a burden on us. We want to say, okay, sure, I'll do that, but you first. If you do that, then I'll follow you. But our text this morning quiets us in that argument because it tells us that that is exactly the case, that that is what Christ has done for us, that he loved us first. As always, when Christ gives us a command, when he asks us to do something, it is only something that he himself has already done for us. Where are we without Christ? Born in sin, lost and condemned, creatures with no good in us. In fact, God's law tells us that when we're born, we're at complete enmity with God, on the other side of the tracks, against everything he stands for and all that he does. And we can do nothing about it. We're lost and condemned, worthy of nothing, doomed to eternal damnation. What it comes down to, dear friends, is that we were born unlovable. When we think of who we are and all our weaknesses, when we think of all the sins that we commit and the sinfulness that we are, how could anyone love us? When we think of the secret sins that we store up inside of us and don't even share or confess to our friends or our family, who could possibly love someone like myself, like any of us? Of course, you know the answer to that, just as I do. The only person that could and did and does is God. And because of his great love, he sent his Son into the world to die for us and to take away our sins. What does that tell us about our neighbor? The fellow down the street that we don't feel so attracted to, are not comfortable in his presence. Yes, he too is a sinner. He has no right to be saved like we have no right. But we know that God loves him too and would have him be saved and give him eternal life. He may not be any better than you or I, but he certainly is no worse either. He's in the same situation, has the same needs, needs to hear the same message. God's message is very consistent to us, this message of love. When we look to his law, we see there also God's love speaking to us. In the first table of the law, the first three commandments, we hear of how we are to love God above all things. On my vicarage, our congregation had the reputation of being the cold and unfriendly church in town. And that's a shame. But I think the reason is the same reason that all us Lutherans sometimes maybe get that reputation. Because we want to love God above all things. We will let nothing come in the way of God and his word and the sacraments. Because we love God, we want to guard and defend what he has given us. To not allow one iota to be taken away from his word. To not let the sacraments in any way be lessened. And so we guard them and protect them because we love God and know that these are a gift of his love. The second table of the law, the fourth through the tenth commandments, tells us how we are to love our neighbor, to put him first with this agape type love, to look out for him in all his needs and concerns. And as teachers and pastors, administrators, secretaries, what a wonderful blessing God has given us by allowing us to work in his church, to speak his word and teach it, and to share it with one another. Our text this morning is found in 1 John 3, chapter 16. And it's the same message we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. The same message we find throughout the law and the prophets, the gospels and the epistles. That God so loved the world that he sent his only son to save us who didn't deserve it. And now he asks us to love others, to pass along those same gifts that he has given us, to be his tools with love as our motive. God's action was to save us, to justify us, so that we might stand before him, having been made innocent, because he bore our sins. What a tremendous love. We read a description of this love in 1 Corinthians 13, a love that could only come from God, a love that moved him to send his own son to die for us, to be humiliated for 33 years from his birth to his death on the cross. Jesus Christ can understand our physical and emotional sufferings, for he experienced them both at the highest levels. Not because he was weak, not because he couldn't battle against these things, but because he was strong for you and I, strong in love. That love gives you and I freedom. Through faith, we are made his heirs and his children. We know what we were, ugly ducklings. But we know what God has done for us, all of us, you and I. He has made us his own through baptism. Suddenly, the bad tree that could only produce bad fruit has now become a good tree that can produce good fruit through God's power working in us. Because of the miraculous love of God, he has enabled us to love one another. And so we look around us, God's family, his chosen people, and he tells us that we are free. free to go out now and spread his love. Again, the description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, doesn't keep track of wrongs, does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And finally, love never fails. We can see the love of God here. The love that has never let us down once in our lives. The love that has been there from the beginning for us. And we can marvel at how wonderful that love is. And we can look to this text and be eager and pray that God indeed works in us and gives us the strength to pass that love along to one another. As we live our lives, may we always be motivated by that great love of God that has reached out to you and I who are unlovable. I think back to when I grew up here in Fort Wayne as a small child. And the only song I knew back then, I guess, was Jesus Loves Me. Now, 20 years later, I can look and see just how much God has loved me and blessed me in my life. Undoubtedly, every one of you can do the same. Whatever your situation, wherever your background, student, professor, administrator, secretary, we can see in each and every one of us that God has been so good to us, that this perfect love has indeed been passed along freely to all. May this love be our motivation as we teach God's words and sacrament, as we lead his people throughout his church. May we be motivated then by his love to let this love shine, this love of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.